Okay, okay. Here she is, Gwen Tolbert. Gwen, long time. I mean, Gwen, how many years at Fox 5 have you been now?
Oh my goodness. This past August of 2021, 19 years. I can't believe it. It just flies fast. I know. I have to really embrace it though. You know, thank goodness, you know, the managers, my viewers have, you know, welcomed me so much and like what I do. So, hey, yeah, I don't mind sticking around.
I was going to say, you're a fan favorite and you have an incredible career. And this is really fun for me because I love kind of peeling back the curtain and getting to know what Gwen does when she's not working and all, you know, your amazing life. So let's start at the beginning. You're actually from Canada, right? You grew up in Canada?
A third generation born, actually. Grandparents, parents, and myself all born in Canada. Yes.
Okay. And were you born in Quebec? Where in Canada?
I was born in Montreal. My parents and grandparents were born in Nova Scotia, Nouvelle-Écosse, and they met in Montreal, and hence I arrived. You know, so it's just, that's home, you know, that's home. I went to school for a time in Nova Scotia, but I also went to school in Montreal, and that's the homeland.
That north. Is the homeland. Wow. And okay, tell me what it was like growing up. Are you an only child or do you have siblings?
I am an only child, but listen to this, you know, always embraced by my aunts and uncles. On my father's side, I have one first cousin. He had two sisters, only one child. On my mother's side, she had nine siblings. I have 26 first cousins. So that family reunion means you need to rent a huge hall, while as on the other side, it's like sit around the card table.
Yeah. And I'm sure, were you very close to your cousins growing up? That's almost like siblings, really.
You're absolutely right. And embraced, you know, the same by my aunts and my uncles, you know? So yes, my cousins were like brothers and sisters. I mean, I learned how to fight. I learned how to share. I learned how to hide my Halloween candy from the oldest ones. all of those things. Yes, definitely. Like brothers and sisters.
So what was Gwen like growing up? Were you like a very studious student? Were you rebellious? I love that you're very close with your mother. I am too. I know you two are like best friends.
Yes.
So were you always like that? Give us a little peek of like what it was like growing up.
Yes, I've always been very close to my mother. And, you know, my mom is my ride or die. Like, she is absolutely the Thelma and Louise of our relationship. We're like that. You know, when I was a teenager in Montreal, you know, going to college and that, we would all be kind of sitting around on the doorstep. And my mom would come out and she'd say, what are you guys doing? Nothing. You want to have a party? Get on the phone. I'll do the cooking. So my house became the hangout house in the kitchen. And the best thing about that was when I moved away, I never worried about my mom because my friends were always still in her kitchen. It was always like just a phone call. Mom needs this. They were there. They were there, you know? So she was just one of those people that, you know, we were just always had this great relationship. And then for a while when I was living in Nova Scotia, I lived with my aunt for a while. My parents were in Montreal. My mother wanted me to go to school in the small town and kind of learn those values. Best ever. In Middleton, Nova Scotia, where, you know, family values were just like amazing. You know, you'd come downstairs on Valentine's Day and the house would be fully decorated. You know, you'd come, you know, home from school on St. Patrick's Day and the house would be fully decorated. And it was just one of those things that was great. And, you know, my aunts were people who always, you know, embraced, you know, the community a lot. So, you know, it was just one of those childhoods that I had the best of both worlds, you know, small town, big city, so that there was never, you know, a gap in between. I had friends everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I just always say my childhood was the best ever.
I guess. Oh, my Lord. It must have been hard to come to the United States. I mean, it must have been like, what a change. Okay, before that, because you had quite a career in Texas, so I want to talk about that. But what did your parents do growing up? Were they at all in entertainment or broadcasting or radio? What did they do? Because I always find it interesting on these interviews how people got into TV. Because most people's parents had nothing to do with television. But what about yours?
Well, here's something interesting, a little side note. And not knowing where I was going to end up as a career, In high school, I actually was part of the high school radio show, not even thinking media was going to be what I did. I was really active in sports and I was on student Congress. I was in the carnival committee. I mean, you name it, I was on every committee. There was like, you know, nonstop. And then, you know, my parents, my dad, for a while he worked for the railroad and then he also was a school bus driver for a while, but he was one of the porters that worked on the trains. And then my mom, she used to do home care and, you know, she used to do like home care nursing, that kind of thing, you know, and, yep. And housekeeping. And my parents were, my mother was also a professional photographer. So she used to always do a lot of photography, but my father's sister was a professional singer. And she used to entertain and she would be like the opening act for some of the big names that would come to Montreal. And back in the heyday, she had her own radio show. She also had her own musical group. She was like amazing, amazing. Okay. And up until she passed away.
What was her name?
Was always at the forefront. Her name was Kay Lucas.
Kay Lucas. And who was the biggest act that she opened for?
She would open for like, I remember her and Engelbert Humperdinck were like very, very good friends. And that was like one of the people that would always call her and say hello whenever he was in town. And if any of the big acts like, you know, James Brown or, you know, any of the, wow. the big Motown acts or anybody, Supremes, any of those people would come to local nightclubs, my aunt would be the opening act for them. And I've got wonderful performance photographs of her. I mean, she just was stunning, absolutely stunning. The one thing about her, which was interesting, was as a child, my mother used to say, I used to always put on my mother's high heel shoes. And my aunt always smoked with a cigarette holder only. And I would, you know, put a towel around and go, I'm Auntie Kay. Look at me. I'm Auntie Kay. You know? My aunt, when I got in television, used to say, oh, you take after me because you're in the entertainment business. And my mother would kind of roll her eyes and go, no.
No, your mom wanted you to do something else. Wow. Exactly. So you kind of had a connection to fame in Canada. Was that the interest? Was that what sparked you to be in TV? When was that moment? Okay.
Well, you know, music was part of my family, too. My dad played guitar. My aunt sang, you know. My mother used to manage a local band that my cousin played in as well. So they were all kind of involved in it. Actually, what got me into television was interesting because I started off, I was going to be a social worker. I was really into community service and I was going to save the world's kids. I was going to be, you know, I was going to be a social worker. You know, I mean, I did piano. I even learned drums for a while. You know, music was, like I said, part of our thread in the family. But along the way, I started volunteering with a local community television program. And I sort of thought, well, this is interesting. You know, somebody approached me and said, would you be interested in doing this? And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll try. And it was a community television workshop program. So I got involved in that. And I eventually became the permanent host of that community TV show. And I thought, well, this is kind of interesting, isn't it? I never thought about television as a career. And it was the one thing that really sparked my interest. And I went to university. I got a journalism degree and started kind of pursuing it. And then one day I saw this. I moved from Montreal to Toronto for a while, and I was teaching children how to do acting in television commercials. And I saw this ad where they were looking for someone to do the weather back in Montreal on the Weather Network, which is the same as the Weather Channel here.
Okay.
And so I thought, well, I've got some of that TV experience because in this television program that I did for the community, it was like a news magazine show. And I, on that show, even got the opportunity to interview Jesse Jackson when he was in town at the time. So that was interesting for me. And so I thought, well, you know, I can do the camera thing. I don't know a whole lot about weather. Let me see what happens. So I ended up being one of 300 applicants and one of three that was chosen.
Wow.
And so they said, we will give you an education in meteorology. And I'm like, done. So off I went.
Oh my gosh.
I worked there for a few years. And then along the way with there, we did some reporting and I anchored this segment called Earth Watch, which was sort of at the news desk talking about things happening in weather, you know, around the world. And one day there was this major snowstorm in Montreal, like huge snowstorm in all, just about all of Canada. And so the local newspaper said, you know, we need to talk to somebody who was knows about this and maybe been out in the elements. And I, at that time, working for the Weather Network, you know, the Weather Network is national.
Yeah.
And so I was the first one on the morning at 3:30 a.m. And so they called there and they asked who, and they said, Gwen. So they did this newspaper story about me. And the number one station in the city, CTV station, said, we've never heard of you, and called up and said, hey, we're looking for somebody over here. Well, on the backstory of that, Sarah, is that the Weather Network was done in both French and English in Montreal. So when the French was segment was on, when they were doing theirs, the English was in commercial and vice versa, same studio. But the French was only shown in the province of Quebec. The English was shown everywhere except the province of Quebec.
Okay.
So nobody in Montreal saw me on television unless they left the province. So if they were in any other part of Canada, they knew I was doing TV. But if they were in Montreal, my friends would say, what are you doing? I'm on the Weather Network. Well, I never see you. Well, you have to leave town to see me.
Oh my God.
So that's why the station didn't know I existed. So what happened then was they approached me about working on their 6 and 11 o'clock news, doing weather, helping on the weekend shift and filling in. So I said, well, I'm working here. I don't know. So I go to my boss and he goes, I don't care. It's no competition to me. They don't see you here on my station. Two television jobs simultaneously in one market.
Wow, Gwen. I mean, that's an incredible career start already. I mean, most people struggle to get one TV job. Here you are. You have two. Okay. Now, would this have been like your early 30s? Like, or was this like right out of college? I mean, that's like amazing.
No, this was a couple of years out of college. And then what happened was I hadn't finished my degree. And so I ended up that I was going to school and doing the two jobs at the same time.
Wow.
So it was like up, coming home from the 11 o'clock news, getting the paper ready for school the next morning, running to school the next day, getting my classes, running back. I mean, it was quite a challenge, but I did it. And, you know, once I was at the CTV station for a while, I left the Weather Network and stayed there. And then they allowed me to do, you know, other things. I was the first person of color who had ever been on like doing the weather, or, you know, there was a couple of people who had done some other type of segments there, but nobody who was a regular on the news, in the news shows. So, you know, the university ended up, you know, saying, wow, this is pretty cool. And, and then I ended up, they let me do Black History specials. They let me do other things. And, you know, I mean, I really grew there a lot, which was great. But then I got to the point of what happens now.
So you know? I was going to say, so, because, you know, you worked in Texas, right, at a Texas station for many years, and you were a very big deal there. I mean, that, you know, the ratings were really big, you know, you were a well-known personality. So how do you get from Canada to Texas?
Well, you know, while I was at the CTV station, I also got the opportunity to do some consumer affairs reporting, which was a show called Fighting Back, and it was like going out and fighting for the little guy. He got, you know, buzzed over by this big corporation, and we're going to fight for him. So I did that. But then I did a travel show shot on location, which was pretty cool. And that was called Travel. So that was a lot of fun too. And that was syndicated. And then I kind of got to the point and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm doing this. What happens now? And everybody in the city was so embracing, because here was this person of color on the news show on a regular basis that hadn't really happened before. And I say a person of color, being that I'm Black, there was an Asian anchor on the show. But, you know, other than a couple of other people doing other things, that was basically it. And no one of color had ever done the travel show. But then I got to the point that, what do I do now? So I started looking around and I'm like, do I go to another part of Canada? If I go to the States, I'm kind of a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
But I discovered the National Association of Black Journalists, and I went to one of their conferences and checked out the job fair. Let me see if I have what it takes. I don't even know if I have what it takes. And I started getting called for jobs. The first one was New York City. I turned it down.
You didn't want to live in New York?
No. It was a startup operation, and they were starting a brand new station, and all I could think about was, if it doesn't work out, I'm going to be coming home. I wanted to go with a station that was established.
Okay.
That had a history. So I turned it down, and 2 years later, that station folded.
Oh my God. Good instincts. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, I started applying. I got offered a job in Philly, and then that didn't work out because somebody from the competing station left and they said, this is a well-known name. You know, we have to grab that person. I'm like, that's fine. And then I got offered the job in Dallas. And so I'd been sending out tapes and resumes and things like that. And then Dallas came through, and Dallas was amazing for my career because not only do weather, but I ended up doing a live audience talk show and feature reporting.
Oh my God. Gwen, what was your talk show called? That must have been amazing.
Positively Texas.
Positively Texas. And what would you do?
Interview people. I remember we interviewed John Walsh. I mean, that was really kind of cool. Charlton Heston, I remember, was there. Anybody who was in town.
Wow.
And that was fun. That was a great experience. That was fun.
So how many years are you in Texas before you come to DC?
5 years.
Okay, 5 years. And then you come here. Did you have a stop in between, or you come to Fox 5 from?
No. Wow. I actually got approached by WJLA first. They brought me in for an interview. A week later, Fox 5 brought me in for an interview and said, so I hear you interviewed over at Channel 7. I was like, yeah, I did. You
know? Yeah.
And I got offered both jobs at the same time.
Wow. What was it about Fox 5 that was your choice?
To be honest, I had just left the morning shift. And I said to my agent, I don't want mornings unless I absolutely have to. And Channel 7 wanted me for mornings. Mm. Doug Hill, you know, so sorry that we just lost him.
I know. Rest in peace. Longtime, you know, DC meteorologist, right, for people that don't know. Very legendary. Yes.
Right. And Doug said, you know, we've been watching you for the past few months and we want you. And, you know, I was like, oh, mornings, you know, and then Fox 5 called and I said, So, you know, both offers, and I went with Fox 5.
And here you are. Later, yeah, it was good choice.
Yes.
Let's talk about all the philanthropic work you do. I mean, anytime I read about you, oh my gosh. I mean, you help young women of color. You mentor them. You've been honored by former President Barack Obama. You have, you introduced a group of girls to Coretta Scott King. I mean, you have probably, how much, this is kind of a very out there question, so feel free to say no. But I mean, how much money do you think you have raised for organizations in your career? I mean, it has to be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It is hundreds of thousands of dollars. And with one organization alone, which was Our House, that I sat on their board of directors here in Olney for 14 years and took over their entire fundraising campaign to build a new building, you know, I helped get that building up. And I want to say, and may he rest in peace, I approached Colin Powell and got him to be my honorary chair for my fundraisers that I did for more than 3 to 4 years. He agreed every single year. And Charles Dutton, also, I got him to come on board and help me, as well as, Sheila Johnson, you know, she came on board at my request as well, you know, so, you know, that's just part of my heart. My family was a family that always did community service, always took other people's kids in, always helped a neighbor. I remember once waking up in the middle of the night to these cold feet in my bed, and I'm saying, who's in my bed? And these 3 or 4 little kids were in my bed and I screamed, Mom! And she goes, look, there was a fire down the street. I grabbed the kids and brought them home. You've got the biggest bed in the house. Be quiet.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, that's what I wondered, who inspired you, but it sounds like your parents, it sounds like your family in general, they were.
My whole family. They've always been people who gave back to others, who always did community service. That's why when I said I started out to be a social worker, it was like second nature, you know, but I realized as I got into media, that this was a way to help me reach more people and maybe give a bigger voice to those causes than if I had been a social worker. And so I've always done that. I did it in Montreal with the young girls. I ended up becoming, when I was on CTV in Montreal, somebody that everybody was really looking up to more so because of everything I was doing and the impact I had and as a role model. So I just approached one of the local high schools in the neighborhood and I said, listen, I want 5 girls that are always in the principal's office. And I said, I want them between 13 and 15 because that's the age where they can have some direction and I can kind of lead them maybe down a path. And so with their parents' permission, I took them on. I called the group Positive Images And I took those girls under my wing and I mentored them for roughly maybe about 4 or 5 years or so. And we did everything, even to the point of going to a fancy restaurant, learning how, what, you know, table setting. And they said, why do we need to know that? And I said, because I always want you to be a leader, not a follower, because you never know if you're following who's going to make the mistake. You're going to be the leader. And we did everything. They kept a journal. Wow. I took them to, I took them to the symphony. I took them out of the inner city and I took them into an environment that they, you know, maybe not have had an opportunity to have their eyes open to before. And when I heard Coretta Scott King was coming to Montreal to speak, I wrote her and I told her that I'm trying to influence and mentoring these young girls. And I said, when you're coming, is there any chance we could meet you? And she said, absolutely. So I had the girls read her biography before. Then we went and heard her speak. And then we met her and we all got a, we got a photograph taken with her. I put it on t-shirts for the girls, had a poster made for the girls. And I told them, you're only going to really appreciate this probably when you're about 18.
Yeah, sure. Right. Right. At that age, it's like, okay, fine, you know, but yes, yeah, as you get older, you realize what an incredible honor that is.
Exactly. Wow. And it always resonates with me because she said, you're so lucky to have Gwen. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, and my thing to the girls was always, whenever you go to do something, before you make that decision, just pretend I'm sitting on your shoulder and say, what would Gwen say if I did this? Because it only takes 2 seconds to make the wrong decision and 2 seconds to correct it and make the right one. And, you know, we did all kinds of things. I remember one year at Christmas, I said, let's go buy a bunch of Christmas gifts. And when I bought a bunch of Christmas gifts, went back to my house. I said, we're going to wrap them all. And they said, oh, great, these are for us. We're going to like put them in a box, got in the car. I took them to a homeless woman shelter. And then what are we doing here? I said, you're going to share and you're going to learn about that. They did a whole thing about guessing the amount of candy in a jar at school. And I said, each of you are going to have a role. So you decide who's going to be the accountant, who's going to be the promotion person, who's going to do whatever. And they set it all up and they did it. And they were like, we're from Positive Images. We're so proud and everything. And then they raised all this money. And then they're what are we going to do with the money? So we're going to donate it back to the school. So you tell me where in the school you want to donate that money to.
They must have hated that. I would have been like, Gwen, I've done all this work. I want to go buy a pair of shoes.
Everything was a lesson. Everything was a lesson.
Gwen, and, what a life, what a career. I mean, of all these organizations and honors, what is a story? What is one that stands out in your mind? I don't know if it was being honored by President Obama. What was the moment that you really just let yourself be just so proud of yourself for everything that you've done? Which one stands out? Is there one?
You know, I have to say, when I was in Texas, I got honored by the governor of Texas. I was named a woman of distinction. The Canadian government has, you know, here we have Congress, there they have Parliament, you know, then they have the Nova Scotia House of Assembly, you know, which is like the cat. So the Nova Scotia House of Assembly, you know, recognized me, and the Canadian government recognized me. You know, the award from President Obama, Lifetime Achievement Award for Community Service, came from all my years, as well as, you know, what I did with our house. You know, I've worked with homeless women's groups. I've worked with the March of Dimes, Juvenile Diabetes. I mean, all those organizations. But for me, the honors that I have gotten, I have embraced them because it gives me an opportunity to draw attention to the need that's out there for other people to step on board and do something. That's what it is for me.
Gwen, what do you want people to know about that maybe they don't, about the work that you do, whether it's with young girls or homeless women? Because I think lots of times people think, oh, Americans, you know, very generous. They give a lot. If you look around, there's plenty of help, you know. I mean, so what do you want people to know, since you really work in those fields of people that are really in need, that maybe people don't think about?
I think that what people have to understand is it doesn't take much. For example, one day I took that particular group of girls out. And I mean, when I was in Dallas, I set up with a professional women's business organization. And together we set up a mentoring program for single teen moms. And we paired them like with female lawyers, with judges, with business women and that kind of thing. And, you know, for the guidance and for the mentorship. And, you know, it doesn't take much. I took the girls out once and we're all sitting around having lunch. And I reached in my bag and I gave them each a little mirror with their name on it. And they went crazy. And a guy walked over to me from another table. He said, those girls are so happy. What did you do? I said, I just gave them a little gift that was personalized. And he said, look at that joy. And I'm saying, because it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to bring a smile to a child's face.
It doesn't take much
to make a difference in a person's life, except maybe a little bit of your time. It doesn't always have to be financial. You know, it's amazing how much a few minutes of your time can make that difference. One of the girls that I mentored during that time went on to start a mentorship program when she got out of school for other young girls in her neighborhood, you know?
Wow.
And so it's just one of those things that you never know the impact you have on somebody and where they're going to take what you give to them. And it doesn't always have to be financial.
Oh, that's so good, Gwen. We're kind of ending our interviews with some rapid fire. So just some rapid fire questions. What would you be doing if you weren't a meteorologist?
One of the things I would be doing is what I do when I'm not on camera at Fox 5 is I have joined up with two other friends and we have started a film production company to tell stories, to tell those unknown stories that are out there that are not getting a voice. And so I would be doing something creative. I'm a very creative person. I love being creative. And that's one of the things that I would be doing.
Gwen, what is the favorite thing that you and your mom like to do together?
Oh, my goodness. You name it, we do it.
What are you two girls up to? Are you drinking wine? Are you going to the theater? Are you sitting around watching, reality shows? What do you girls do?
Well, we're not drinking wine because I don't drink. My mother, you know, she'll have her little taste once in a while, you know, but I don't drink. We reminisce, talk about family, you know, we go through photographs, old photographs a lot, you know, do those kinds of things. We go shopping, go for a ride. I mean, you know, we just enjoy each other as much as possible. And I'm going to be able to see her around the holidays. I can't wait to get there.
I know. I think I had heard, hasn't it? I think I saw on your Facebook, it had been, how long has it been? You've seen your mother, right? Or is this going to be the first time?
I saw her in October, but COVID, the border was closed up until September of this year. So 21 months went by, almost 2 years before I was able to see and hug my mom.
Oh my God. That was so
difficult. Everybody knows at work how difficult that was for me and in my friendship circle.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah, 100%. Gwen, what's your favorite, other hobby outside of filmmaking, all the work you do? I mean, do you love to go to nice dinners? Are you a traveler? What's kind of your favorite hobby?
Well, I love to travel. And that's one of the things that's been kind of a downer too, because every year I've taken my mother somewhere. I've taken her to Paris. I've taken her to London. She's been in Kensington Palace. You know, I mean, we've gone on a cruise, we've gone, you know, over to the Caribbean. I mean, I've been myself to Egypt. I've been to Italy. Like, I love it, you know, standing in the pyramids and those kinds of things. I love to travel. I write. I love to write. I also do professional motivational speaking, and I'm part of the National Speakers Association. And a little bit of brag here. A few years back, I was first runner up for keynote in the USA. So, you know, I do motivational speaking, just in case you're wondering. I do motivational speaking mainly, you know.
Gwen, I got to get more jobs. You're amazing. You're amazing, Gwen. Okay.
There's enough hours in my day.
You are just unbelievable and selfless. It is just amazing. Last thing, when is the last time you laughed at something, yourself, someone? What happened that made you really laugh?
I think the last time I laughed at myself was probably a few weeks ago when I went to make coffee, but I didn't put the pot underneath and I turned it on and walked away.
How long was it brewing before you noticed?
Too long. Let's put it that way. It's like, oh, that coffee smells great. And I walked in and my florist said, it's fantastic. Let me tell you.
Oh my gosh. Gwen Talbert, this was a treat. I mean, you are just a woman of such great, you know, I admire you so much. And I really know the audience does too. You're a fan favorite. I love to watch your Facebook lives. Our audience adores you. And I just admire the work you've done. Tell people, you're on social media. We can follow you on Facebook. We can follow you on Instagram. And I know, when can we watch you? I know you fill in a lot too, but do you have some hours that we can definitely see you at Fox 5?
Yeah, my regular schedule now, because I'm now reporting 3 days a week, which I'm excited about, because, and I just want to say this, you know, I'm really into telling the community stories, the stories of the heart out there, you know, people who help people, people who need help, people who are just doing for others, you know, and I love those stories. So please share those with me if you have them. You can hit me up on Facebook and Twitter at GwenFox5DC. Instagram, it's GwenTalbertTV. So, you know, please just hit me up with those stories. I'm on Saturday and Sunday mornings, 7 a.m., doing the weather with Maureen Ume on Saturdays from 7 to 9 in the morning. Get up early, grab the coffee and join me. Yes. And then on Sunday from with Tom Fitzgerald at 7 a.m. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, if I'm not doing weather, replacing anybody else, I am out reporting and you can see my stories in the 4, 5, and 6 o'clock shows.
Love it, Gwen. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for sitting down for this. Bye, Gwen! Fox. I said she still has the key card and they never change the locks. So here she is, she's Sarah Frazier, brought to you by Fox.